Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Ron. And while I know I said in the past that there would be no more replays, this week we have a replay. You see, I got to spend the night in the emergency room and that's left me pretty down. The recovery is gonna be slow, but there is a plan in place. The good news is that it has nothing to do with COVID-19, so no worries. I'm hoping to be back in the recording studio next week, but if not, I hope you'll understand. The replay I've decided on is probably my favorite show from last year. It is the 400th episode, which features a story from my brother and is co-hosted by Jim Harold. I'm hoping that you'll enjoy it. So here is that episode from the month of Spooky, 2019. Hello and welcome to the month of Spooky, 2019. Scary stories are a part of our lives. The most popular of these of late ranges from The Walking Dead to facing evil on a daily basis. These things remind us of our own mortality, get our adrenaline going, and send chills through our bodies that we just can't explain. During this month, you can expect the unexpected, hear the unbelievable, and witness stories that stretch the imagination. Today's episode is no exception. It's special, not only because it's the 400th episode of Ron's Amazing Stories, but also we have a special guest who, as we speak, is walking the dark streets of Cleveland, Ohio.
The rain was steady now, the streets of Cleveland wet with fast-running water making its way to the nearest sewer entrance. Occasional thunderclaps reminded the dark figure, walking alone, of the great storm that had raged only minutes before. Jim Harold reached into his pocket and reread the note that had arrived at his home by special messenger.
Mr. Harold, if you want the answers you seek, be walking on Marble Avenue at the stroke of midnight. You will be contacted there. Come along, and please bring the recording equipment of your choice. You're going to need it. P.S. Phantom power will be provided.
The podcast mogul was taken aback and knew that he had to go. But what answers did he seek? He didn't actually have a question, and thought that should be the first thing he would ask. He put the now-wet message back in his raincoat pocket and continued walking. After a few minutes, a black sedan of unknown make pulled up beside him with a single driver. He was dressed in a well-pressed black suit and dark sunglasses.
Good evening, Mr. Harold. So good of you to follow instructions. Please, get in the car. We got a long drive ahead of us.
Now just you wait a minute. I'll not be going anywhere until you tell me what is this all about.
I would love to answer your questions, but times grow short, if you get my drift. And if we are to meet the aliens, we best get on our way. They're a time-conscious lot, with dimensional travel and all, and being late makes them difficult.
I see. And if I don't get in?
Then you have come out here on a dark and stormy night for no good reason. Come now, Mr. Harold. You all people know with risk there's reward. Now, get in and live the adventure of a lifetime.
This struck a chord with the seasoned paranormalist. He opened the car door and got inside.
I call shotgun.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
After a few minutes of driving, Jim noticed that they were no longer in the city, and somehow in Montana. He knew this because it was very flat, and the world stretched out before him in endless rolling hills and lush green grass. Plus, there was a sign that said, "Entering Montana, Oroe Plata."
They pulled to a stop at an old barn in the middle of nowhere.
"Thanks, Harold. This is where we part ways. Please review your Uber ride with us. 5-star ratings are appreciated."
Jim Harold gathered his things and got out of the car. He barely had time to set himself when the sedan disappeared. Jim walked to an old barn to begin his adventure of a lifetime. As he opened the barn door, he heard a familiar voice.
"Hey, Jim. Welcome to the 400th episode of Ron's Amazing Stories. Cue the podcast music." Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Ron's Amazing Stories, where we have played hundreds of tales in 400 episodes, counting today. On the show, we have the amazing Jim Harold. Jim has been part of this podcast since his first visit in episode number 23. That was a landmark show for me, and only the second interview I had ever done. Jim has been gracious, helpful, and a whole lot of fun to talk to. Now let's rejoin him in a barn somewhere in Montana. Well, Jim, first let me say thank you, thank you, thank you for taking part in the 400th episode. I wouldn't have it with anybody else. You have been for episode 100. You've been there for episode 200. You were there for episode 300. And guess what? Here's episode 400.
Well, it's an honor. Thank you very much, Ron. And thanks for that ride, in the middle of Montana. I think that was so cool. You had me picked up at the beginning of the show there. That was great. But really, seriously honored to be on the show. And I know tonight I think we're going to talk about a subject that's near and dear to my heart and some listener stories. And again, thank you so much for making me a part of it.
Well, like I said, Jim, I wouldn't have it any other way, except I do have a question. All I did was call you an Uber.
Well, after the show, I'm going to tell you what happened. You won't believe it.
No, actually, I kind of suspected when they said that there was going to be an extra charge for the time dimensional shift.
Yes, it's like, what is that? That surge pricing. It's very similar. Just a little more extreme.
Well, Jim, we do have something special today. 4 listeners have sent in stories for this episode, and they did this months ago. And the story goes that I tried to get a ufologist to come on. I sent out all kinds of requests to all kinds of different ufologists, and not one of them sent me a response. Not one of them.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I'm sorry.
So then I thought, well, what do I do? And then I thought, you know what the right thing to do is to save these stories for my 400th episode and have you here to talk about them with me.
Oh, well, I'm honored. Thank you.
So we jump into the first one?
Sure, please do.
All right. Jim, this first one comes from Barbara Collins. And I think that this is a prime example of why people get confused over the term UFO. Shall we give it a listen?
Let's do.
Barbara Collins has sent in this orb experience. I've never heard anything quite like it. I'm 34 now, and this happened when I was 14. So quick math should tell you that it was 20 years ago. I do, however, remember this quite thoroughly. It was about 11:30 p.m. and I had woken up. I couldn't get back to sleep, so I got up to walk around a bit. I always got a weird feeling walking through the hallway at night. I can't explain why. I just did. I looked both ways, to the left and to the right, checking for anything or anyone. It was empty, and all I could hear was my dad snoring. I made my way to the kitchen and got a late night snack. As I was walking back, I looked to see if my parents were up. They were asleep. I looked down the hall at the full-length mirror and noticed a white orb floating about a foot above the floor. The orb wasn't glowing, and it didn't light anything up around it. I guess it could be best described as a ball of crumpled up white paper. I got an eerie feeling, ran to my room, and closed my door behind me. I stood at the door for a moment and listened for footsteps. Nothing. I decided to open my door to check to see if it was still there. I cracked it open just a bit, and there it was, floating right in front of me, blinking on and off. I was terrified beyond all reason and slammed the door shut. I jumped to my bed, dove in, and pulled the blankets over my head. Time went past. I don't know how long for sure, but I'd say at least 10 minutes or so. I decided to take the blankets off my head. I slowly pulled them back past my eyes, and that crazy paper orb was just floating there above my head. I quickly yanked the blankets back over my head again, and then nothing. It was morning, and my mom was yelling for me to get up. Now here's the weird part. After this encounter, I had some medical issues. Prior to this, I had been a healthy 14-year-old girl who never even had gotten sick. This continued until my doctor discovered a condition that is usually associated with exposure to certain types of radiation. I was treated using potassium iodide. I returned to complete health, but I never fully mentally recovered. Barbara Collins, Orange County, California. All right, Jim, was that really a UFO story?
Well, it was flying, it was floating, so I guess yes, because, you know, I think sometimes when we talk about UFOs, all that UFO means is unidentified flying object. Now, this was a relatively small object, but it was flying, it was floating, so I think you could call it a UFO story. And we have had on the Campfire program people talk about seeing orbs float through their house. Now, it's not something that people have come on the show and talked about a lot, but there have been a report or two over the years of something similar. And the thing that's really the kicker on this story is I think that last part where she had this radiation-related disorder, or at least exposure to radiation, I thought that was, well, quite a coincidence. If it is a coincidence, maybe it isn't one. But yeah, I think this is a UFO story. And I think that when people think of UFOs, they tend to say, oh, alien spacecraft. Well, we really don't know that necessarily, do we? I mean, they could be spirits. They could be anything. So yeah, I think it's a UFO story.
I think it is, because if you look at it this way, she said the lights blinked on and off. I've heard a lot of ghost stories, and I've never heard a ghost story where the lights blinked on and off.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And again, people assume that if there are, quote, aliens, that they're the same size we are. Well, and they've been reported as being kind of short, like 3 or 4 foot tall or something. But if they're extremely advanced, who says that they can't change their size, can't change their shape? Or are there different species of aliens if they exist? Might there be some really small ones? We don't know. We just suppose, I think, and I think we sometimes jump to conclusions that rule out things that may fall under this, like this story.
Agreed, 100%. And I want to thank Barbara for sending that in. And again, thank you for being so patient and waiting for months to get it on the show. I think it was worth it. Jim, do you want to hear a second story?
Absolutely.
All right. This one is called Close Encounter. Scott Wilson from Houston, Texas, has sent in this story, which is both a reflection on the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind and a very strange tale. I am a cattle buyer for one of the largest ranchers in Texas. This puts me on the road year-round buying and selling cattle, horses, and other livestock. During the fall of 1996, I was taking a pair of horses from Sonora, Texas, to Roosevelt. I was driving along Route 10, which, if you're familiar, know that it is a lonely stretch of road. It takes about 40 minutes to drive it. That is if you're going the speed limit, which nobody does. I had just left a rest area and had planned to be in Roosevelt in about 20 minutes. Fate had other plans. Have you ever seen the movie Close Encounters of a Third Kind? I was pretty much alone on the road. A few trucks were around, but I would quickly leave them in the dust. You see, I was not going the speed limit. I looked up and saw a set of headlights appear in my rearview mirror. I didn't think much of it until they were right on my backside. I slowed down a bit, hoping that the car would pass. At first, it slowed down as well, but then it got the idea and passed over me. Yes, you heard that right. I watched in awe as those lights rose up, passed over the top of my rig, and came down the other side. I quickly stopped, taking care not to upset the horse trailer. I watched as those lights sailed down the road at an impossible speed. What I experienced that evening was not possible under any traditional circumstances. This has totally changed my viewpoint on UFOs, and I have become an avid skywatcher as a result. I've not seen anything else like it, but I know that UFOs are real. What are they? Who are they? Who can say, other than that they are unidentified flying objects? That's enough for me. Scott Wilson, Houston, Texas. Okay, Jim, that is a traditional UFO story if I've ever heard one. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I agree 110%. And it's really a great one Scott had there. It reminds me of, and I was trying to search my memory, and I actually cheated and looked it up on Wikipedia, but I was trying to remember there was a police officer in the 60s who had a situation that this was reminding him, and people want to look up that case. It's the Lonnie Zamora case from 1964.
But I've heard that.
Yeah. The thing is that it fascinates me about this, and this is one of the things that I love, real stories of the strange, when they happen in the course of everyday life. You know, he wasn't out in the field looking for a UFO. He wasn't sleeping with a pyramid under his bed. He was working, you know, and he was transporting these horses and minding his own business. He sees, that reminds me of something out of the Looney Tunes, right? The car that raises up and goes over. And he sees these lights. And to me, these are the most credible stories because it's not somebody who's looking for their 5 minutes of fame, or it's not somebody who, again, was searching for the paranormal or the supernatural, and I include UFOs in that. It came looking for him. So I love that story.
I do too. And what I like about it is the fact is just what you pointed out. He was just doing his job. And this happens to him. I think it's incredible. And to me, it makes the story credible, just like what you said.
I agree.
All right, Jim, this next story is a shocker for me. And I'll tell you why. Because this happened to my own brother before I was born. And I had no idea this happened. My family has never talked about it, even though when I asked my mother about it, she goes, yeah, I remember that. And it's just special. Well, I'm just going to play it, and you tell me what you think of this one.
I'm ready.
My seventh summer. We were living at 510 Myrtle Street in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. It was 1957, and my family consisted of mom, dad, and a sister. My brother Ron was a few years in the future. We lived in a small house with a big backyard formed by a long grassy slope stretching almost 100 yards east towards a dirt alley. Mom and baby sister slept in the front part of the house nearest the street. I slept all alone in a room right next to the back door. I might begin by telling you that this all happened during a summer when UFOs were reported in the news every day, most of them clustered in and around our country. These included stories of direct face-to-face encounters with small beings who emerged from shell-like crafts and engaged in various forms of interaction with the local farmers. Some reported being taken away. My experience began one summer night during my seventh year when I was jerked awake by a sudden rustling sound. I was vaguely aware of four or five dim shapes rushing out of my room. As I remember, I just let it go and fell back to sleep. But I was awakened the same way the next night, and this time I saw the source of my disturbance more clearly. There were four beings in my room. They were small, about my size, gray in color, and I remember being startled to see that their limbs and heads were disturbingly elongated. I couldn't make any more sense than that of their shape, because it was so dark. Later, when I saw the cover of Whitney Strieber's book, Communion, I knew exactly what I had seen. This time I ran screaming through the house and leaped into my parents' bed. I remember shaking and crying. Mom and Dad saw my distress and tried to comfort me. As a little kid, I had no way to describe what I had seen, so they assured me that it was all a dream, even though I knew it wasn't. Eventually, Dad carried me back to what felt like my oh-so-distant room, laid me in my bed, and told me to go back to sleep. I pleaded with him not to leave me, but he did. I laid wide awake in my bed, wet with cold sweat. Minutes after my dad left, the little beings emerged from the shadows. I had never been so afraid. They advanced towards me. One may have even touched me. I pushed myself away and dashed again across the house and into my parents' bed. This time they were upset with me, and my father pretty much dragged me, kicking and screaming, back to my bedroom. Left alone, all I could hear was my heart beating. I felt helpless and betrayed. Then they came again. This time I was too frightened to run or even scream. I saw the beings approach me, felt them touch me, and that's all I remember. All I remember, that is, until hours later at the first glimmer of dawn. This time I came fully awake and saw the beings hurrying out of my room. Watching them scuttle away, my eyes were drawn to a shadow that was pressed against the flat sidewall of the kitchen pantry that stood just outside my doorless bedroom. The shadow was that of a tall man with a distinct beard. Seeing the shadow and the beard, the first thing I thought of was it looked like Abraham Lincoln. The shadow remained, not moving at all, even after the strange little beings had left. Continuing to stare at it, I decided that it wasn't President Lincoln. No, I became certain that the shadow I was seeing must be that of Jesus. Suddenly, I wasn't afraid. In fact, I was filled with wonder and strange peace. The shadow faded, but I didn't run this time. I laid back down and fell asleep until my mom woke me up. Years later, I developed a fascination with UFOs, and reading a book about the subject, I saw a picture portraying what was identified as the Nordic type that often accompanies the Greys. For the first time, I was pretty sure what I had seen. There is an epilogue to this story. As that summer faded away, my memories of those events slowly dissolved into what felt like a dream, until one Friday night in late August. Mom and Dad had to go to some kind of event. They arranged for the teenage daughter of a family friend to take care of me. As part of that arrangement, they let her and a few of her friends take me to a picture at the town movie theater. It happens that the film was set in a space observatory secretly stalked by a malicious alien. The movie unfolded with subtle hints suggesting the presence of the visitor. Suddenly, the camera revealed a short, oddly shaped being with elongated features. I bolted from the theater, running at full speed out the door and down the sidewalk. My sitter and her friends ran after me and eventually caught up. She grabbed me and tried to calm me down, but I remember wailing and kicking and twisting to get out of her grip. She and her friends finally got me home, where the sister urged my parents to return immediately. After a long time, I settled down. Today, I remember every minute of that incident and can still feel the terror that had grasped me. The violent nature of that incident, witnessed by so many, yet utterly inexplicable on the face of it, confirms to me that something strange and terrifying happened to me during my seventh summer. Jim Thompson, Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Well, first off, let me say that my brother wrote to me as a story that he wants to put into his book that he's writing, or maybe it's in his book that he wrote. I'm not sure. He'll have to tell me. But I was in absolute shock. And of course, the first thing I did was I went to my mother and I had her read it. And she says, oh yeah, I remember that night. It was just a bad dream. And that's all it was. And to this day, she said, that's all she'll say about it, is what that it was a bad dream. To my brother, after sitting and talking with him, now he came and saw us this summer. He came up from New Mexico and saw us. And we talked about this. And when I listen to him talk about this stuff, listen to him tell this story, it's real, Jim. This happened. This absolutely happened.
I can tell you something. That is truly amazing. Truly amazing. One of the most remarkable stories I've ever heard. The thing about it is that to me, kind of like the story before where we said it's very credible when somebody's just going about their business and they experience it. Same thing with childhood stories. And again, this predates the Whitley Strieber stuff. It predates a lot of alien type stuff. So it's not like he watched a movie and saw it. Now, afterwards, he saw a movie after the fact, which reminded him of it. But that had to be so terrifying for him.
He told me when he was here this summer that this wasn't the end of it, that there were other encounters during that summer that he hasn't even told me about yet. He's going to share those with us too. So be looking for more of this story later on.
Yeah, that's a tremendous story. And the thing is that the other thing I'll say about it real quickly is we assume that what he's describing is an alien, but we really don't know that. Mm-hmm. Could it be something from a parallel universe? Could it be evil spirit? Could it be any number of things? And you mentioned Whitley Strieber, and I believe in his books, he doesn't call these visitors E.T. or alien. He calls them the visitors. He doesn't necessarily say what they are. So that's an open question as well.
And I'm going to say to my brother, thank you for sharing that, Jim. I thank you. That's all I have to say. Thank you. Moment of silence.
That was great, though. That was great.
Isn't that something?
That is a fantastic story.
And now, this word from Audible. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/bronzeamazingstories. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, computer, Kindle. Whatever you have, you can listen to Audible on it. So what am I listening to right now? Men in Black, written by Steve Perry and narrated by David Dukes. Well, Jim, we all know this story, but having it read for you by an expert is, well, it's just fun.
Yeah, I love Audible, and we've been talking about Audible for years on our shows, and it is just such a great way to consume content because just like podcasting, you know, you may not have the time to read a book that you really want to read, but you can do it while you're doing other things. You can be driving. You can be working in the yard. You can be cooking, cleaning, whatever it might be, exercising, which I need to do more of. And yet you can listen to this great content, and I'm a big fan of Audible.
Well, I am too, and I got to tell you a little bit about this book. Everybody knows what it's about. While much of the world watches and waits for signs of alien life, a select group of men know the truth that alien beings are here today walking among us in human form. These are the men of a top secret agency dedicated to tracking and policing these aliens, an organization known only as the Men in Black. Now, doesn't that sound like a fun story, Jim?
It does. It does.
And Jim, did you know that you can have the Men in Black today for free? For free!
No waiting. No waiting. Imagine.
Here's what Audible has set up for us. Audible is offering a free audiobook and 30 days to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/ronsamazingstories. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ronsamazingstories and you can get your free book today. Jim, are you going to go get this book today?
I think I will, and Audible is great.
Thank you, Audible. Well, Jim, we have one more story to go. And I'm going to say, of all the stories that we've heard today, this is the one that I had the most fun with. And it comes from a gentleman named Margarito Bernal. And unlike other stories, this is one where we talked on the phone and he told me his story and I wrote it. So I took his story, wrote it down, typed it all out, sent it to him to get his approval. He loved it. And do you want to hear it?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. UFO by Margarito Bernal. My story occurred in late April of the year 2000. My uncle, a buddy, and I decided to go camping in the Sagre de Cristo Mountains along the river that comes directly out of Blanca Peak. The Sagre de Cristo Mountains is Spanish for the Blood of Christ, or the southernmost subrange of the Rocky Mountains. They are located in southern Colorado and northern New Mexico. Blanca Peak is the fourth highest summit of the Rocky Mountains and is a wondrous place full of hiking trails, campgrounds, and fishing. When we first arrived, we were surprised how wild the river was running. It was full of life and felt comforting. We all set about getting our camp ready. I floated the cooler out into the river and tied it off. This would keep it from any animals and had the added benefit of keeping our drinks cold. It was then that we realized we had not brought any tents with us. We would be sleeping under the stars that night. Little did we know, at the time, sleep was not on the agenda. Before I continue with my story, I should tell you a bit about my uncle. Since I was young, he's always told us stories about his encounters with aliens. We never thought much about his tales because he'd always been such a great storyteller. He was also a careful man. Anytime we went into the woods, he did so with his gun in hand. We had settled in for the night. I had taken out my didgeridoo, and my buddy had brought his Congo drums. We began to play into the night. My uncle joined the concert by keeping time, whacking his pickup truck with a stick. It is said that the Navajo Indians hold these mountains as sacred. It was our hope that the music we played that night met with their approval. We noticed that a thunderstorm was approaching from the east. The odd thing was that we couldn't hear any of the normal sounds that you would expect. It was strange. Then my uncle pointed to our fire. It appeared to be suffocating, as if all the oxygen was being pulled from it. Looking back at the storm, my buddy points and said, "What's that?" I looked up into the night sky and saw what I could only describe as a round disc. It was flashing blue, red, and green, and was slowly moving towards us. I heard my uncle gasp and then yell, "Crap, they're coming for me again." He pulled his gun from the holster, took aim at the ship, or whatever it was, and began to fire. The disc took evasive maneuvers and zigzagged around. After a few seconds of this, it shot up into the sky. My uncle and I were left dumbfounded. Then my buddy shouts that he saw some creature in the trees. That had us all worried. We began to investigate that threat when the disc returned. It blasted us with a blinding white light. Then it blinked on and off three times, and on that third blink, my memory ends. No time passed for us, but yet somehow it was morning. I looked around the camp, and everything was just where we left it. My uncle was still sitting on the gate of his pickup holding his gun, and my friend was pointing into the woods. However, the river was no longer rushing, and our cooler was no longer floating. The water level had dropped at least 2 feet. We didn't say much to each other at this point, and I was thirsty like I had never been before. My buddy finally broke the silence and asked, "Maybe they opened the irrigation valves below?" This was unlikely because it was April and the valley farmers would still be preparing and planting the alfalfa fields. We decided to shake the affair off and I went fishing. It began to rain heavily and with no tents, we had to retreat to my uncle's pickup. It was then we realized how tired we were and slept as best we could. It was my dog that woke us up. He had been under the pickup truck. Now he was running around the vehicle wildly and barking. It was obvious that something was wrong. We all spoke with the same mind. We loaded up the truck and left for home. Years passed. We talked about what happened to us many times. To this day, I believe that we were abducted. Also, I think that the aliens took the water from the river, perhaps to run their ship. I don't know, but I do know this all sounds crazy, but it happened just as I described it. Margarito Bernal. Okay, Jim, before you say anything, let me tell you a little bit about Margarito. He is by far one of the most genuine people I have ever met. Well, talked to on the phone anyway. And he was a wonderful storyteller, and I recorded him telling this story. The problem is that he was not feeling well at the time and his voice was gone, or this would have been him telling us the story. He says he has many other stories and he wants to come back on the podcast and tell us some more. But Jim, what did you think of that story?
Oh, it's absolutely incredible, particularly that part about the missing time. That to me is always a red flag of something really significant having happened. Now, it would have been incredible enough without that, but with that, that's kind of the cherry on top. And the fact that they left and they came back, and what the uncle said when he said, "Crap, they're coming for me again," that was very telling. Like he knew who they were. And as he said, he had had the experience multiple times. So really, that is a remarkable story, and congratulations on finding that experiencer. Just an amazing, amazing story, and would love to hear more of what he has to say.
Well, again, I want to thank you, Margarito, for being patient. He waited almost 3 months to get this on the air, and I just want to thank you all, four of you, for doing that. So, Jim, what are your final thoughts on this, on these stories? Are UFOs out there, and what are they?
Well, I can't say what they are, but I can say I believe they're out there. Just yesterday, as we record this, I had seen an article in Popular Mechanics, and basically the U.S. Navy came out and said that those videos, I think people have referred to them as the Tic Tac videos, the gun camera footage, said, yes, it's real. And secondly, it wasn't supposed to come out. That's a pretty stunning admission by the United States Navy. Now, again, in that case, could have it been maybe experimental craft from our military or some other military? Possibly. Could have been aliens? Possibly. Could have been interdimensional travelers? Possibly. Could have it been some kind of spirits? Possibly. But I can't, as obvious as I'm saying this, is I can't tell you what it is, but it was something. So yes, UFOs exist. What they are, my guess is as good as anybody else's.
My opinion is this. UFOs are definitely out there. Whether they are sponsored by the government, that there are secret craft that they're working on that nobody knows about, or whether they're alien-driven, it makes no difference to me because they're unidentified flying objects. And really, that's all that's important to me. Now, these four stories have something in common. The experiencers experience something to go with them. And a lot of UFO stories are, oh, look, up there in the sky, I'm seeing a light that I can't explain. But there is a second level, and that I don't have any explanation for.
I have to agree, and these were all great stories. So, Ron, thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of the show. It really was enjoyable. I loved hearing these stories and talking a little bit about them.
Jim, I'm going to say it again. Thank you so much for being here for number 400. You are welcome back for number 500.
Well, good Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I plan on being there. Thank you so much, Ron, and continued success with the show. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jim. That was a whole lot of fun. I can't say enough how much it meant to have Jim do the 400th episode of Ron's Amazing Stories. He has been a friend and mentor to us here. He has willingly shared his knowledge, time, and expertise. Jim is a podcast giant, but is also humble and kind. If you want to know more about Jim and his work, all you have to do is head to jimherald.com. There you will find access to his free shows, The Paranormal Podcast, Jim Harold's Campfire, Jim Harold's Crime Scene, and Soulmate Stories. Enjoy looking through those, and I think you'll be hooked just like I was way back when. Jim also has a paid service, which is incredible. Here, you have access to every podcast he has ever made. That alone is amazing, but it doesn't end there. Jim produces 7 more shows that are only available to subscribers. These range from The Cryptid Report, which is my personal favorite, to UFOs, Ghost Insights, Ancient Mysteries, and so much more. In fact, there is so much content there, you'll never run out of podcasts to listen to. To Jim, I say, thank you, my friend, and here is to another 100 podcasts. And now, for a very special 5-Minute Mystery.
Another 5-Minute Mystery.
This 5-Minute Mystery is being brought to you by Melody Goodman. Melody lives in the great state of Texas and has done more for this mystery than any of you could ever know. How do I know that? Well, because I've already heard the story.
Hello. Yes, this is Dr. Fangfist. No, I didn't know it was Halloween. What do you mean, surprise?
And that's all I know, Detective, except that before he died, he told me a story that he received from Melody Goodman in Laredo, Texas. Hello, Ron. I got your request from the podcast that you needed a scary story. I have one and almost hate to tell it. Every time I do, I can still feel the fear. It was a late night and I was out driving home from a friend's house. I hate to admit that I had a bit too much and probably shouldn't have been driving at all. I was, but I'll never do it again because in this case, it turned out to be a very bad decision. It was about a 10-mile drive home, and along the way I saw a young boy on the side of the road looking for a ride. I thought to myself, why not? And I pulled over and picked the kid up. He came around to the window of the car, and it was then I felt absolute fear. He spoke in a voice that I will never forget.
Can I get in the car?
I said as brightly as I could, well, that's why I stopped. Do you need a ride somewhere? He said,
no, I just want to get into the car.
It was then that I looked up at him. His eyes were as black as night, no other way to describe them. It makes sense that they would be wide, but these eyes were as black could be. I felt like he could stare right through me rather than at me. I was terrified, and I immediately regretted having agreed to let him get into the car. It was then he asked me again if he could get in. This time I said, on second thought, I've got to go. I don't have time right now to take you anywhere. Can I make a phone call for you? The boy looked down at me and said,
"Can I get into the car, please?"
It was then I gunned the engine and cut the heck out of there. I was now completely sober and realized the folly of what I had done. I guess it was an adrenaline rush that had saved me. From what? I'll never know. As I looked back in the rearview mirror, I saw the little boy standing there with his thumb out, waiting for his next victim.
And that was it, Detective. That's all he said.
Well, there you have a mystery that really doesn't have any solution other than it's scary as heck. I hate black-eyed kids' stories, but I love to hear them. I guess that's a personal problem, and I may not be able to fix it. However, this 5-Minute Mystery was brought to you by Melody Goodman from Laredo, Texas.
Is that you say?
Well, I have to say thank you. There are so many this time, it just might take a whole segment. Let me begin by saying a big thank you to Mark Nelson. Mark did the narration and played the part of the man in black for our skit at the top of the show. Mark just took the script and read the parts without Jim even being around. I think we can all agree that he did a pretty fantastic job. Mark has recorded more than 70 professional audiobooks, including crime fiction, science fiction, horror, nonfiction, histories, and classics, all for Audible. He has also done over 140 recordings for LibriVox.org. Truly amazing. You want to know more about Mark and his work? Head to markdouglasnelson.com. Our storytellers this time were Barbara Collins, Scott Wilson, James Thompson, Margarito Burnell, and Melody Goodman. That is a lot of stories sent in by you this time, and with many more to come during the month of Spooky. The support from you, the listeners, has been off the charts this year, and we will have some truly incredible stories coming up this month. Now, there is still room for more stories, so please, if you have something spooky and/or pants-soiling scary, send it in, because we all want to hear it. I have one more thank you, and that is to you guys. You that are listening right now in your car, on your walk, or maybe just sitting in your favorite chair. Thank you for allowing me to do 400 episodes and taking the time to listen to them. You are why I do this. Stories are what makes this podcast go round and round. And I want to thank you for listening, and thank you for making the show the best that it can be. Now, what is coming up this month? Well, Sylvia Schultz is back with her ghostly flair and will be announcing who won an autographed copy of her new book, Haunted Souls. Jason will join us to talk more about his stories, and we'll also talk about some pretty scary stuff in a special Horror Express. We will play my very favorite ghost story from old-time radio that should have you running away in terror. All that and more is coming up this month of Spooky 2019. And now, these are your stories.
These are your stories, sent by you, for you.
The story for this 400th podcast comes from a name you've already heard today, Melody Goodman. The 5-Minute Mystery actually came from last year's month of Spooky, and Melody has sent us a brand new story for this year. She calls it The House I Grew Up In. I had a good childhood for the most part. I grew up in a neighborhood that had plenty of kids my age to play with. There was even a lake with a rope swing for those hot summer days. Growing up in Texas, a shady cool lake was a welcome reprieve. My grandma even lived next door to us, and it was nice having her close by. But when I was 12, things started taking a sinister turn. The first thing I remember happening was the night that I was lying in bed watching TV and my closet door swung open, hit the wall, and slammed shut. I ran to the living room where my parents were and in tears told them what had just happened. As parents sometimes do, they didn't believe me. That night, as I tried to fall asleep, I heard something bang on our utility room door. It sounded like they were trying to break it down. Real quick, let me give you the setup of the house. It was basically a long hallway with rooms off either side of it. You could stand at the front door and see the back door. My dad added a utility room slash workshop on when I was about 8, and it made the house look huge. The actual living area, however, was really small. Anyway, because of how small the house was, I heard the banging loud and clear. I screamed for my parents and they both came running into my room. I told them what I had heard and my dad went to check it out while my mom tried to calm me down. My dad found nothing and I ended up sleeping in their room that night. After that, the activity in the house really picked up. We would find things completely out of place. Car keys would be in the kitchen. A vase that was on the bookshelf in the living room would somehow be in the bathroom. Objects out of place. Everywhere. This was when I started seeing a black figure at my bedroom door. At first, it would just stand there and stare into my room. I told my mom about it, and she said I was just dreaming. I was not dreaming. Soon, the figure started coming into my room, closer and closer to my bed. It was terrifying. One night, I got up the nerve to try to run past it. It didn't touch me, but I was pushed back into my bed with such force that my head hit the wall between my room and my parents' room. My mom came in to see what had happened, and I told her. She looked at me with concern and told me to come just sleep in their room. I continued to see this figure at least 3 times a week until I was 15. One day, I'd had enough, and I went to talk to my grandmother about it. I just told her what I had seen and described what it looked like. She said that she thought it was my grandfather. She told me that he had been an abusive drunk, getting his thrills from scaring his children and being physically abusive to her. I asked why she didn't leave him, and she said she did, twice. The first time he found her at her sister's house, alone, and threatened to kill her if she tried it again. The second time he found her, she said that he almost killed her, but refused to say how. My grandfather was eventually put into prison for auto theft, and he died in a supposed accident. She told me not to worry, that she would take care of it. After I talked to her, the activity stopped. Just like that, no more. I never saw the dark figure again. When I was 21, my mom died. Then the activity picked up again. One day I was reading in my room and I smelled her perfume, Lady in White. It was her favorite. Once again, items around the house would go missing and would be found in weird places like the bathroom closet. I worked nights at that time and one morning I came home to find my mother in the kitchen in the dress that she had been buried in, just standing there. She was looking right at me, smiled, and then was gone. I continued to live with my dad, and when I was 24, I started dating the guy I am now married to. One evening, I got off work at 10 p.m., and we decided to go out. He came to my house to pick me up, and as I was getting my stuff together, he said, "What the heck is that?" We looked up, and on the ceiling, there was a brightly colored orb going in a circle right above our heads. While we were looking at the circles dancing around, the back door just fell off its hinges and landed in the middle of the hallway. We just walked over to the door and stood there staring at it and then got the heck out of there. My dad had been on a business trip, and when he came home, I told him what had happened. I could tell that he really didn't believe me, but considering that I wasn't the partying type, or someone who just took doors off hinges, he really didn't know what else to think. He put the door back up, all the while muttering that he just couldn't see how it could have fallen off. One night, my husband and I stayed the night at my dad's house while he was on a business trip, and we slept in my parents' bed. At about 4 a.m., he woke me up and said, "I just saw your mom standing by the closet." I looked over, and there was what looked like a cloud of smoke still there. When I got back to sleep, I dreamed of my mother. We have lived in 4 different places since that time, and in each of those places, something paranormal slash weird has happened. I don't know if it's something attached to me, or if we just happened to get all the weirdo houses, but stay tuned for more of my stories. Melody Goodman, Laredo, Texas. Well, Melody, let me just say, wow, you truly have had some strange experiences, and I look forward to hearing more of your stories. Can you believe it? That is the 400th episode of Ron's Amazing Stories. So many stories over the years, and I have each and every one of you to thank for it. Thank you for your support. If you want to follow the podcast or the blog, just head to ronsamazingstories.com. There you'll find the links you'll need. Do you want to help the show? The best thing that you can do is to tell your friends about it, and please leave reviews or feedback wherever you listen. This is how we grow. Thank you for listening to 400 episodes, and I do hope you come again to find out what are Ron's Amazing Stories. Ron here again. I hope you enjoyed that replay. I know for me, that one meant a lot. I truly had no idea that my brother experienced that when he was a child. Since that one aired, I have talked to my mom more about it. She admitted that she knew something strange happened that night, but she was referring to the movie incident and still thinks the rest was all a dream. Me? I don't think so. As to the podcast next week, I have a doctor's appointment on Monday morning to go over what happened to me and the next steps. What happens then will determine if I'm able to do a show next week. I hope you'll stay with me, and if I need to, I promise to pick another great replay for you. It's a promise. Thank you for listening to this, and I will see you next week.